Our Heavenly Father, we come to you thinking that even these songs we can lift up as our prayer today. To God be the glory for great things you have done. Father, you are the God of the universe. You have done great things physically and great things spiritually. You're the God of every galaxy, and yet you're the God of every individual heart. We thank you for the faith that helps us to believe in that and to anchor our soul in that. The scripture in Hebrews says our anchor goes outside of this world. It goes into heaven, and that's what can hold us steady. We're well aware that we live in a troubled world. We live in a fallen world. The evil in this world is the result of sin, disobedience to you. We should not be surprised at that. But Father, we live for another world, and our anchor holds as we walk through this world. We pray you'd help us to be a witness and a light while we're here, and yet not to give in to the worldly pressures around us. We thank you. You can satisfy our soul. You can bring that spiritual water that we thirst for. You can bring the peace and rest that we long for. Every individual here in this building today, Father, should be filled with your Holy Spirit. And if they're not, we pray you would draw them to yourself. Let them know that you are that which they long for, whether they recognize it or not. Our hearts were made for you. Father, we thank you for the fact that we can have the long view of life, as we just sung. You have overcome the grave. None of us knows when we will come face to face with the grave. Sometimes young die before the older. Sometimes children die before their parents. We never know what life will bring. A bridge may collapse and fall on top of us. We just don't know. Help us to live every day for you. Help us to live for eternity, not just for this world. Father, we bring our needs to you today, thanking you that you love us, you care about us. Father, we read recently the ancient gods of the Greeks and the Romans did not care about people. They were just doing their own thing. But we have a God that cares, a God that loves us, a God that wants to work with us and help us. So we lift up Gideon to you again today. We thank you for the good reports. Father, we look at that little face in the picture, and we think when he's 20 years old and 25, he might sense the destiny you have for him from this troubled birth. May you do great things through his life. May you bring total healing. Bring him home with his parents. Raise him up to be a true warrior for you. We pray for the sick and needy. We know that May is having physical problems this day, these weeks. We pray you would help her, strengthen her, encourage her heart, work out all the problems that she faces. For any others that are not well today, we pray you'd bring healing and strength to physical problems. For other kinds of problems, we lift them all up to you. We ask you to work in and around all of our hearts today. We pray you would bless in the preaching. What else is said and done, bless in the children's church. May your Holy Spirit just work in and around through every heart this morning. Draw us closer to you, strengthen us, inspire us, meet our needs, and may we go out with our stake driven deeper in belief in you, and a commitment to be a light to this world. For all that's accomplished this day, we thank you for it. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was been overwhelmed many times in being in this new family of Marlon's with his children and with the grandbabies and just loving on them. And I'll never forget the first time that they came in for vacation, and we went to the beach, and this was a couple of the grandkids' first time that they had ever seen the ocean or the sand and had the wind blow on their face and the sand in their eyes and the water in their mouth, which they would spew out. And I'll never forget, I was sitting under the tent because it was hot, and I heard this little voice calling out, Bobby and Papaw, and so we looked up. And here was little Kinsey Doodle. We call her Kinsey Doodle. Her name's Mackenzie. And she was calling our names, and she wanted us to come to her, and she wanted us to jump the waves with her. So, of course, Papaw and I went on down through the hot sand, and we began to jump the waves with her. And I want you to think of a time when someone has called your name. They've spoken your name. And what a great feeling that was. For someone to call your name. Today I want you to journey with me on through Matthew. where Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he's going to be calling a few people's name. And of course, when Jesus calls, that is a very special thing indeed. Responding to God's call is another special thing indeed, is it not? If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, and read along with me. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets, immediately forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And straightway he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with their hired servants and went after Jesus. Father, I ask today that you would bless the reading of your word, because it is your word. It is not just the words of man, but it is God's word from his very own heart to his very own people that you desire to call and to speak to and to raise up in building your kingdom, in building your church. So, Lord, speak to each of us personally. May we hear you call out our names today, and may we respond in joyful obedience and humble sincerity. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The calling of the disciples in Mark 1 speaks volumes about both God's calling of those who would follow him and their response to that call, because it's a two-way street. God does his part, and we respond in our part. We observe the interaction between Jesus and the fishermen, and we are faced with the challenge of hearing and responding to God's calling in our own lives. During the course of your lifetime, Jesus will call you to many things. He will call you by name in many things. And as we look at the disciples' response, we too can be obedient to Jesus in the call upon our lives. What is God calling you to? Or what is he calling you from? This first point we need to see is that when we commit, when we surrender to follow Jesus in obedience, we are acknowledging that Jesus has a very personal way that he calls us to join him in what he is doing. We are responding to our call, a call that is not my call, a call that is your call, that is your name. That moment in your life when God of all creation, who formed you in your mother's womb and already has laid down the foundation and the good works he desires for you to do, he speaks your name. And he tells you his personal desire and plan for you to join him in what he's doing. Because you see, he's already doing. He is an action God. And he desires for us, his people, to be a people filled with action. Doing the ministry. Doing the serving. A calling many times can be misunderstood as being something secretive or mystical or something that God is hiding from us. But the simple truth is God seeks to call his his children for you to join him where he is in a specific service that he has tailored you specifically to do. That he has created you specifically for. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, he has a specific plan for your life. Now let's look. Let's look together at how Jesus calls the disciples. They are in their normal day-to-day living. They are fishermen. They will spend all night heaving and throwing out the nets and pulling the nets in. And many a nights they did not catch fish, but this was the way they made a living. Their father was a fisherman. Their grandfather was a fisherman. It's something that followed in the family line. They were fishermen. They were caught up in the ordinary and the mundane things until Jesus, in a divine appointment, walked their way, sought them out, looked them in the eye, and said, "Andrew, Simon, James, John, come here. Follow me. Follow me." Now, they did not know it then that it was going to be something spectacular and extraordinary. In fact, Jesus' ministry was beginning, and he was calling the 12, and he was wanting to train them. But at that point, there wasn't much to know about this Jesus other than he was the carpenter's son, and he could do some good things, and he was a very, very good man. At this point, they were not aware that he was indeed the Messiah, the one who had come to save them, but they knew there was something special. Because God was working in their lives, and they dropped it all, no matter, they didn't know if they would get paid. They didn't know what the work entailed. They didn't know what the qualifications were for the job. But when Jesus said, "Come and follow," they said, "Well, to go and follow, I got to drop everything I'm doing, and I'm going to follow, because he's called my name." They're no longer, from this point on, average fishermen. But they are now disciples, followers of the Most High God. Wow. And just as Jesus called them out of the ordinary and the mundane, Jesus knows where you are, and he is calling you where you are. He may be walking into your office one day, and he's looking at you, and he's saying your name, and he's calling you to follow him. And he may be asking you to follow him into the cubicle next to you, into that person who always brings tuna fish for lunch, and it stinks up the whole room, who likes to say a few choice words when they're angry and upset at you, but he's saying, "Follow me. Come on. I'm working here. Come with me. I'm going to make you a fisher of men today, not of that tuna fish, but of this man right here." God can take your ordinary day, and he can make it extraordinary by using you to change someone's life. We are ordinary people, created by an extraordinary God. Amen? And he is the one who chooses to save us. He chooses to involve us in the extraordinary work of fishing for men. Fishing for men and bringing men and women into reconciliation with him to accomplish his purpose and his will. And there are three aspects that I want to point out that are visible here in Mark 1. These three characteristics of the disciples' call are also true of your calling. First, your call is personal. When he calls your name, it's intimate. It's personal. The call is unique, specifically for you. A call is always tailored to fit who God has created you to be. Jesus did not go on the street corner and stand up and make a generalized call. He did not call out to everyone that day of whomever might feel comfortable or inclined to follow me, come. He specifically called these men by name to come and follow him. And the Lord is not hoping that someone somewhere would just choose to accompany him and his purpose, but he's calling you. The call to join Jesus is very personal. He always has your best interest at heart, and he always has the best interest of those around you at heart. Think about it. God's perfect plan, God's call for your life, he does this desiring that you come alongside him. Come alongside the master and work with him. He wants you. He doesn't have to have you. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. But he wants you. He wants you. He gives you spiritual gifts. He's given you your personality. He's given you your talents. And most importantly, he's given you your own personal story of transformation that he wants you to share with the world around you. All of these things given to us as blessings from the Lord Jesus Christ and from our Heavenly Father and the blessed Holy Spirit who comes and lives within us, empowering us to do the call that he set for us to do. Jesus wanted Simon, Andrew, James, and John. And so with complete intentionality, Jesus called them by name right where they were. Jesus' call on your life is equally personal and important. He wants you. He is relational. We were created for relationship, and our call will always be relational. Always. I'll never forget. I have a lot of memories, a lot of great memories. I'll never forget. But I tell you what, if the average age of getting married is 20 years old, I was 18 years late. But that didn't bother me. Because as a child at 10 years old, I heard the Lord speak my name. Bobby, you're not going to get married young. You're going to marry an older man, and you're not going to have your own kids. Now, was it an audible voice? No, but I heard his voice. It's hard to explain, but when you know the Father and you're in the Word and you're having that personal, intimate relationship with him, when he speaks, when he calls your name, you know exactly, you know clearly what he's telling you. So I waited, and I did date. I dated a little bit, but I always knew that's not the one, and so we'd break it off, you know. It wasn't old enough yet. I knew, okay, it's still too soon. And finally, I met Marlon, and he came to my church via my pastor there, Living Well Church of the Nazarene in Salem, Virginia. And we met the first time I looked down. I didn't know who he was yet, and then I kind of finally figured it out because when I was singing and leading worship, that he spoke to me again, Bobby, that's your man. I'm like, what? That's my man. I don't even talk like that. I know it couldn't be me. That's my man. And so I was like, I got to focus here, Lord. And I began singing again, and I began worshiping the Lord and praising him. But right after church, I'll never forget the first time I met Marlon, and he said my name. Oh, and he shook my hand, and I was like, whoo. That was personal. That was relational. We just met, but it felt like I had known him for years because God had been preparing me, and God is preparing you for your call, for your spouse that you haven't met yet, or for your next step in life that he desires for you to walk in your journey. He comes to meet us where we are. He speaks our name, and we have the opportunity to respond. Hallelujah. He doesn't just do it. We have a decision to make. And because of my relationship, because of your relationship with Jesus, because you have been saved from your sins and you have been forgiven from your sins, and because he desires for you to be cleansed within your heart and entirely sanctified, wanting and desiring to live a holy life, because of that, you can say yes because you trust him. You either trust him or you don't. You put your faith in him all the way or you don't put your faith in him at all. Faith is belief, and true belief is action. If we cannot act in such a way and trust in such a way, then that makes us want to question our faith. Question our true salvation. Do I just believe with my head, or is my heart always all the way in it? Because if my heart is all the way in it, and it takes a while to get our heart all the way in it, Christ, God saves us, and then he continues that process of getting us to complete surrender, which is not an easy thing to do, but once you do it, you are free. Because you no longer have to control and manipulate what you're doing in life. You can just do what God has given you to do. And when God speaks your name and you hear your name and you say, join me over here, then you go and you do it and you're free and you're filled with a joy like you've never ever known before. And you cannot express. And I may not always have money in my pocket, but I've got the riches of the whole world when this world's done with the new heaven and the new earth coming, and I am God's child, amen? And because we are God's children, he has a divine job for us to do, and there's different ones to do in our life, different callings that he has at different times. Many Christians, many times we think that God only calls those who have been trained, he only calls those who have everything all figured out, who are perfect, who never question, who just are kind of like robots. Yes, 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 that's not how it works. Because God is preparing you every step of the way. You may not have that diploma that says it, but God is preparing your heart. God is preparing your mind, and he uses the foolish things of this world, even our own foolishness, to confound the wise, because God's wisdom is much greater than the wisdom of this world. This wisdom of this world that seems the most intelligent is the most foolish unless they give it over to Jesus. God's calling for you is to be saved. Calling for you is to be a holy people, set apart personally and set apart as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, working, living together, responding to the call that God has given each of you in your life. You don't have to sit by and think, how am I going to figure all this out? God is going to make it clear. I was attending Liberty University, and oh my goodness. I went on this weekend, I was involved in this weekend, Ambassadors for Christ, and we would go away on the weekends, and he started preparing me for this one particular time in my devotions, and he would say, Bobby, I love my name. I love hearing it when Jesus speaks it, when my Marlon speaks it. Bobby. Yes. And it was the weirdest thing. He says, do you love me? I'm thinking, am I Peter? I don't think I've denied you three times, but oh well. Do you love me? And I wrote it down, looking for my journal, couldn't find it. Do you love me? Why, yes, Lord, I love you. And I kept doing my devotions, like, Bobby, do you trust me? Sometimes that's dun, 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 dun. Yes, Lord, I trust you completely. Bobby, do you love me? Yes. And that's all he said. Wrote it down. 2 weeks later, I was on my way on one of these trips going towards Danville, Virginia, where I used to attend Averitt College, and I would come home on the weekends, and I would always pass this church, and something about that church caught my attention every time. A white Baptist church. I was Baptist at the time, forgive me. And I would come home every weekend and do children and teen ministry at Troutville Baptist Church. And so I would notice this church, and the last time that I passed it before I left, there's something special going on in this church. I'm like, well, do I need to turn around and go back? And it's like, no. 4 years later, I was attending Liberty University, and we went to that church. We went to that church 2 weeks after God said, do you trust me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And God got me on my knees. We went to help the teens there, and that Sunday the pastor preached. He preached on the rich young ruler, and he preached on how Jesus loved the little children. Come unto me, deny them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And I went up to the altar. I didn't know why. I felt like something was pushing me. And I was like, this isn't even my church. I'm supposed to be a leader here. What's going on? I went up to the altar, and I began to pray, and I began to cry, and God says, you sure you love me? You sure you trust me? You're not coming back to school next year. I'm like, excuse me? You're not going back. But Lord, I love it. Only have one more year. I was a music major, minor in elementary education. I was ready. I was excited to follow the Lord in that workplace and even ministry. And he says, no, you're not going to go back there. And I said, well, Lord, I know the first time after 2 years at Averett, you said you're not going to go, and I made you shut the door because I didn't want to have to do it. I liked it. And he shut the door. He said, yeah. He said, and did you trust me then? I'm like, yes. He said, okay, then trust me now. He said, and before you leave, you need to tell someone because later you're going to doubt that it was me. So I got up, told my friend, I'm not going to be back here next year. And then I began telling my teachers. They said, that's foolish. That's the most foolish thing you could ever do. Jesus would never tell somebody. God would never tell somebody. You're not going to go back to school. You need your education. I said, I hear you. But I also heard the Lord speak. And that's who I follow. And I quit. I finished out the semester, understand? Finished out that semester. And had the whole summer. And I finally told my mom. She's like, well, that's okay. Just get a job and work. You don't have to say, God told you you're not going to go back. I said, Mother, that really didn't happen. I was like, okay, God, you'll have to convince her. So all of a sudden, I didn't have a job. I didn't know what I was going to do. I began to question, and God brought back, remember when you told your friend? Yes, trust me. I'm like, okay, I'm trusting you. And it came back around to before classes started again for the in August. And I was like, Lord, what are you doing? If I'm not doing anything, I want to go back to school. Would you know it? I got through the mail a foreign mission board pamphlet in need of missionaries, and I hadn't thought of that at that point. I loved missions, and I always thought that'd be nice to do is mission work. And I got it out, and I was going through it, and my eyes fell upon Germany, and I was like, Germany. And I kept going through, and then I was looking for China. I love China. I even started learning Mandarin. I'm like, I would love to go to China and be a missionary. But God brought me back to Germany, and I said, okay, Lord, I'll pray about it. I really did pray about it, just about a week, and all the billboards, never seen billboards with Germany on it before. I passed like two or three billboards, literally, with Germany on it. At least that's what I saw. I mean, who knows? And I turned on the radio in the car, and I'd hear them talking, the preaching ministries on Germany and the need in Germany for the light of Jesus Christ. And so I said, okay, I'm going to call. And I called. What do I need to do? You have your bachelor's degree? No. Do you speak German? No. Why do you feel like this is for you? And I gave them my testimony. I told them how I'd also worked with children and teens and how I only had one more year in school and what God had been doing in me there and asked me to lead. She said, well, I'll pass your resume on and I'll pass your testimony and everything on. I went on vacation, came back, and I had one Sunday to gather $5,000 to get there and to pack all my belongings to get up and leave to somewhere I didn't know anybody yet. And I left because God called my name. And I trusted him every step of the way. Our calling has a great deal to say about our relationship with God. If God trusts you enough to call you, why can't we trust him enough to say yes? Oh, that we would say yes. And then our calling is definitive. It is authoritative. It is final. God has made the decision for this calling. And he puts it out to you. There is no question mark at the end of come follow me. He did not say, Andrew, Simon, James, John, would you please come follow me? Would you pray about following me? Do you think maybe you could come with me? No, he said come. Some translations have come, others don't. But all of them have follow me, period. Follow me into the great unknown. Follow me. God will make it clear to you each step of obedience you take. Each step when you say yes to his call that is personal, his call that is relational, his call that is final. because he trusts you, and he wants you to join him in serving and reconciling the world to himself. And then this brings us to, not only is the calling your call personally, but it's our calling. It's our calling. A response always follows a call. You may reject it. You may ignore it. You may say, maybe I'll think about it. And you may say yes or no. But every call requires a response. And you alone are responsible for your response. The disciples show us some things about how our response should look. We are called to follow, and we are called to work together. Work together as one in Christ Jesus to accomplish his plan for us as a church. When we follow, we trust Jesus as a church. We take steps of faith together. We grow together in the word. We mourn together. We pick each other up when we're falling down. We strengthen one another when one is weak. We encourage one another when someone is having a hard time. We walk side by side, hand in hand, one purpose, one goal, one mission of making Christ-like disciples. But it begins personally in our relationship with God, and then it begins in our relationship with one another as the body. Sometimes the body can get sick, and that sickness can catch on, and other people can get sick, and we all need to be healthy together. We need to be in oneness and unity, because it is a corporate calling. In Ephesians 4, it becomes clear that the meaning of God's calling is broader. His calling goes beyond my call to we, our call. We are to be fully alive, living, growing in faith, serving one another, serving the church together, and transforming our world. Why is our church not packed this morning? Yes, some people do not want a relationship with Jesus Christ because it's too much accountability, too many things they think they can and cannot do, too many rules. But what they don't understand, maybe because they don't see it in our lives. Following Jesus is a privilege. It is a help. It is a strength. It is a love that they can never imagine. We need to show them Jesus. He wants us to join him, to be his hands, his feet, his voice. Just as Moses, when God called Moses, how did he respond? Oh, not me. I can't even talk right, Lord. I have a speech impediment. And God, he's like, who do I say? Sends me. And God says, I am. The great I am sends you. You are no longer going to be a nomad group, but you are the people of the great I am. And God is telling you, you are a people of the great I am. You are the church of Jesus Christ. You are the body. You are his bride. And he wants to empower you with the power of his Holy Spirit. He wants to fill you overflowing with his love. And he wants you to join him in reaching this lost world for him. You are called to be set apart. Apart from sin. And set apart to God. You see, we do serve a jealous God, but it's jealousy in the right way. It'd just be like if your wife is having some eyes for some other man, you're going to be jealous, and you have the right to be. Because you are married. You're in that one-to-one union with your spouse, and we are to be in a one-to-one union with God, trusting God, living our lives holy, clean, and pure, set apart from the things of this world, and set and focused upon God, upon Jesus Christ. As it says in Corinthians chapter 1, he's talking to the church of Corinth, and he says, to those who are sanctified, who are cleansed in Jesus Christ, called to be his holy people, together with all of those everywhere who call on the name of Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. And then in 1 Peter. And I think Jesus is speaking this to us today. He's speaking your name and he's saying, you, Marlon, Angie, John, Leah, Larry, put your name. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's called you out of darkness, sin, and shame, into his marvelous light of truth. And if you join him, you will be effective. You will have success because God will accomplish through us what he has called us to do. And he has called us to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you. The ministry of reconciliation. Isn't that what we're all about? Reconciliation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? He is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all. All is all. That's all can mean. Behold, all things have become new. Are you new this morning? Have you answered the call to seek, to repent of your sins, to confess your sins, and ask Jesus Christ and his precious blood to cover you and to forgive your sins? If you have not done that, that is the first call that he has on your life today. And if you have done that, the second calling is, I desire for my people to be sanctified through and through so that I may present body, mind, and spirit blameless before the Lord. If you have not been sanctified to the very depths of your heart and your selfishness is still in the way, God wants to do that. That's what he does. His fire of the Holy Spirit comes in and burns it out and it takes it out. And then once that's done, he fills it with his holy love. And he can inhabit your entire being with his Holy Spirit. And then he can empower you for when you say yes to do the works that he set out for you to do. The response to Jesus' calling should be immediate. Shouldn't be delays. Next year, Lord. When I'm finished with this, Lord. Now is the time to say yes. It is so clear that the disciples responded immediately. They dropped their nets. When God's call happens in your life, you need to learn to respond immediately. The word used here in the Greek is a word that conveys the idea at once. There was no hesitation by the disciples in their decision. They did not attempt to go fishing a little bit more, to make a little more money, before they decided to follow Jesus. They immediately dropped their nets, left what they were doing, and followed him. What do you need to drop today to say yes to the personalized calling or to the calling as a body of believers at VB1? Is God calling you by name and saying you're one of the 24. Time to get serious. Time to be one of those who's going to be used by God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to reach over 100,000 people in our area for my glory. Immediate. What are you going to have to drop? What do you need to do immediately in order to answer God's call now? you need to share the gospel with now? Your life of transformation now. When God calls your name, what is your response? Are you going to be a Jonah and run the other way and be miserable and unhappy because you, even if it's just you alone, know the truth? Are you going to be a Moses and make excuses but then say, yes, Lord, I will. Allow God to use you in a powerful way to set people free? Are you going to be like a Mary Magdalene who went to the grave and Jesus was gone and she wept and she mourned because she suffered a great loss and he was no longer there? Her purpose in life was gone. He had freed her from 7 demons. What was she going to do now? Who was she to be now? And Jesus said, Mary, I'm alive. Go tell the disciples. Jesus whispering your name. Go tell. Will you respond to his call today? Will you be an Isaiah who said, here I am, Lord. Send me. Like everyone to bow your head, close your eyes. If there's someone here today who has heard God whisper your name or speak your name and you need to come up and pray, please do so. I know he's spoken. And I know he desires to do a new work in each of our lives. Jesus is calling. What is your response today? Let us pray. Father, you are an amazing God. And amazing, I mean, you are an all-consuming fire. You penetrate the deepest depths of our heart and soul and mind and thoughts. You are the one we should be running to, calling out your name. But Lord, instead, you're the one running to us, meeting us where we are, calling our name, desiring to know us, desiring to fill us, to love us, to use us for your glory, and the benefit is ours. I pray, Lord, for those here today who they've heard the call and they're running. They're finding it very difficult to trust you. They're finding it difficult to think that they themselves could even be used because they are but a weak man or woman. But I pray that right now, during their confusion or during their running, that you would speak their name. And they would realize the great love of the one who's calling them. And they would surrender and say, yes, I answer the call. I don't know what that calling is, Lord, but I say yes. We are your people. We are called by your name. We are to be set apart. What a privilege that we take for granted. I pray, Lord, that you will call men and women and children in this body. That you would not only call them to saving grace, to cleansing, but that you would call them to a life full of service, full of joy, of miraculous things that you want to do through them, and they just can't see it. Because, God, I know you want to raise up those in our very own church, Lord, that's truly going to just make an impact in this world. And as you come closer and closer to returning, Lord, you want to use us. You want to work in us. You want to work through us. You want to reveal yourself. Soften our hearts. Give us a trust. Help us to hear and to say yes. May we be humble before you, said at the right time, you may raise them up. Mighty warriors of the great I am. And may each of us say, here I am, Lord. Send me. I will follow you wherever you go, wherever you are. I will be your hands and feet with whomever you lead me to. I will be rich or poor. I will be educated or just trained by you and in your word and empowered by your spirit. I am yours, Lord, wholly and completely yours. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Join me. Look full in his wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Yes. As you leave today, may you go in the blessings and the joy of the Lord, and may you hear him as he calls your name, and may you respond with trust and joy. Go in peace. Go in love. Go in the blessings and the power of the Holy Spirit.